Thank you for checking out the Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
All right, well, good morning. Hey, I want to invite you. I know you've clapped and shouted a lot, but those that are with me in person, will you just welcome those online as well? We want to make them feel a part of things. We're so glad that you're joining with us online, and special shout out to you. And it's so good to have you, though, here present with us. And yeah, I know you just saw a little intro on fasting. I want to just give a little insight to that. That doesn't begin tomorrow. That begins 1 week from tomorrow. We're going to gather corporately through a 21-day fast. Now, when I actually said gather, I mean individually. I want to encourage you to participate with us if you're with us for the first time today. But please, keep coming. We only do fast twice a year, okay? We don't fast perpetually, but twice a year. We've noticed something just in the spiritual realm of life that it's important after vacation kind of seasons to lean in again. How many of you know you don't drive full throttle everywhere, but you sometimes got to drive fast, sometimes you got to drive slow to get to your destination safely and securely? Well, fasting is a little bit like driving fast. I call it kind of leaning in to who God is and leaning into His presence. So we do this twice a year. And I want to encourage you, we begin that next Monday. Find out more. We have on our website, hillsidechurch.us/21 days. If you have no idea what fasting is, that will kind of equip you and at least giving you some of the reason why we fast and we do what we do. But y'all are looking good. How many of you are grateful it's August? Yeah, some of you didn't know it's August. It's August, y'all. The year is tracking, and I know, as Mitch mentioned during the transition, many parents, your kids are going back to school, and we are, as he mentioned, you know, we're praying for you. We're believing, of course, that your best days are ahead, but we're believing, come on, for God to do some things in the life of His people, and so we want to gear towards that. So, today we begin a new series. It's a vision series. When the word vision comes to mind, if you will, it's a mental picture of the future. Most of the time, we like having positive mental pictures of the future. Amen? A vision, though, is something that hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet, but it's something before us that we hope to move into and move towards. You know, as we begin this series today, of course, giving attention to Scripture, I was just, again, thinking about our Heavenly Father and how throughout Scripture, vision is a prominent theme. In fact, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty." Think of that. Nothing. There is nothing there. Formless and empty. "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Here it is, verse 3. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." What is that? That's vision. There was nothing, and God spoke vision. "God saw the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day." One could argue theologically, not only the Bible, but creation begins with a vision from God. It's also the way He moves His people into the promises, the purposes, and the plans that He has for them. I mean, you can think, you would be hard-pressed to find stories, to find individuals, to find personalities in Scriptures that weren't captured with a vision. Think on Adam and Eve. Think on Adam and Eve. God created, he looked at them and said it was good, and he gave them a clear vision of what to do. They got a little mixed up, somebody, all right? But God gave them a clear understanding of what it was he wanted them to do. You could also visit the prophet Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. God would say, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, I called you by name. So God had a pre-vision for their life. Vision, I want to just say this out the gate, it can be a game changer with where you are right now. You may be lacking vision. Do you know depression, not always, but many times, is rooted in a lack of vision. The book of Proverbs would actually say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Sometimes my day-to-day living is where there is no Starbucks, I perish. When there is no football with fans in the stand, I perish, right? But no. Notice vision. Listen, it can give you endurance when life gets hard. You give me a clear vision, it's more powerful than what's in the bank account. It's more powerful than what you're wearing. It's more powerful than what vehicle you parked in the parking lot. All those things are wonderful. Let's pay attention to those things. But let's be people rooted in vision. I want you to think about it. Vision can be a game changer, and it can. I want to tell you, in this season of life, vision can give you the strength to endure the difficulties. We're not just because we've reopened at a church, doesn't mean we're just happy-go-lucky, we think everything's past. No, we understand it's a very difficult season, not only nationally, but globally. Some of you, I've said this before, without COVID, 2020 was cray-cray. Like, you're like, man, how low can we go? Like, if I keep digging this valley, you know, it's going to get low, low, low. I'm barely hanging on. I want to tell you, vision fueled by hope in Christ can lead you through to the other side. And I would like to say it's purely spiritual. We're going to dive into some of the spiritual dynamics of that. But also, if you think about some of the people that are influences in our culture, whether for the good or for the bad, they had a vision. Do you know that Walt Disney, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but Walt Disney was fired from a local newspaper because he lacked imagination and he never had any good ideas. Walt Disney had to endure that. Isn't that crazy? But how many of you know Walt Disney had some vision going on? Yeah. Some vision. Vision can help you endure. I think of Oprah Winfrey. I was unaware of this, but I found out at 22, she was fired from her job as a television reporter. And here was the statement. She's unfit for TV. Unfit for TV. Isn't that remarkable? One of the greatest broadcasters of all time. And yet, in her early days, she had to endure trials. But can I tell you, vision will give you the strength to carry on. I'm a little late to the party, but The Last Dance became available on Netflix. Enjoy the edited version, okay? We're in church. But The Last Dance is the story of the 97 Bulls, Chicago Bulls. And it's remarkable, as you're watching these episodes, to think, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. That's crazy. And yet, it's part of the story that is in the very fiber of what made him who he was. Vision, I'm telling you, vision for your life right now might be exactly what you need. Your marriage may not be lacking in spirituality or prioritizing God. It may just be lacking in vision. Maybe it's time that we lean in to what God's vision and purposes for our life is. Vision can transform us. It can transform our perspectives. It can transform our outlook. And we're going to spend a few moments talking about, we've actually framed this series, why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. Now, our perspective is to share with you some things about us as a church, but also to inspire you to have that thought. Why am I doing this? Why is this habit in my life? Why is this career goal even on my agenda? And I think you'll find in us sharing some tremendous passages and some stories along the way, you will find yourself rising up with even more vision for your life. I mean, shooting straight with you, vision, it's everywhere. It's in your day to day. Listen, I can get a glimpse. I'm not glimpsing, okay? I'm not spying on y'all. But I can get a glimpse into the vision of your home. You could just look at your bank statement. You could just look at your Prime account. Shoot, you could even pull up your iPhone and look at the apps to get a glimpse of the vision for your life. It's remarkable. Vision is, it's everywhere. We need to, as Christ followers, be aware. Here's the bottom line. We're a people not with God submitted to our vision, but with us submitted to his vision. You were created to be a vision carrier of the greatest story, the greatest reality ever told. And so I want to spend a few moments unpacking this idea of why we do what we do. I'm going to begin over the next several Sundays. We will look at some of the different aspects of vision and our heartbeat as a church. But again, we're also going to equip you in your daily lives. So if you have your Bibles, of course, reading from Genesis, but specifically we want to look at some of the last words Jesus is recorded as saying. It's out of Matthew, and it's in chapter 28. And it's called the Great Commission. And in verse 18 of chapter 28, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" I want you to think about Jesus' last words. How many of you know the last words of anyone spoken are usually pretty important? Even in our culture, we're aware of some of the last words. Sometimes if a grandparent or great-grandparent's passing away, the family will gather, and oftentimes they're leaning in to hear some of the last words spoken. Well, in Matthew's particular gospel, we just read the last words Jesus said. Now, every word spoken by God in Christ is vitally important for us. But I think we need to give special attention to these particular words, as they are his last words. Notice what it says: "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." We call it, we've got it framed, the Great Commission. We've kind of got this little verse or words we say, and it is very simple. You're going to have it memorized by the time you approach your lunch today. And here it is: reaching people, building lives. Say that with me: reaching people, building lives. If you are here with no vision, you have absolutely no idea where to begin. Steal our vision, which is from Jesus: reaching people, building lives. I promise you, your life will be transformed when you live with intentionality. Come on, think about all the things we could live for. Think about the purpose that could drive us, and yet that's not what we're called to. Culture, American culture, will oftentimes lean in to the age-old principalities and powers of darkness. Mo' money. Mo' sex. Mo' power. Somebody's like, who is Mo? More money. I don't know why I do that all the time. More money. I got to slow it down for some of you. I can't see your whole face, but more money, right? I'm all in for more money. Now, none of us are that transparent. We're all smarter than that. We're way smarter than to say, yeah, you know, I live for money. That's my end game. But sometimes in the stillness, in the quiet place, Jesus will knock on the door of my heart. And he will say, Paul, what you living for? Where is that thought coming from? Picture it as a balloon with helium. Where's that thought coming on? Come on, let's trace that all the way back down. And sometimes there are decisions that are made that are driven by not with a trust in God, but a trust in our own strength. And what we can find ourselves, if we can find ourselves buckling to the powers and the principalities of the evil one. And we can't, we're humans, we're smart. We can make really good excuses. But Jesus would ask us why we do what we do. He said, listen, first and foremost, as followers of Jesus, it must be to go and make disciples, to reach people, build lives. It's as simple as that. As a church, I want to just paint it on the forefront of your mind that as a church, hear me say it, hold me accountable to it. We exist to reach people, build lives. You cut us open, we bleed. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the only person who can forgive people of their sins. Jesus is the only one who has the power to set people free from addictions of cycles of sin. He's the only hope our world has. And we exist to reach them. Amen. We exist to reach people and build lives. And part of our reason for doing this series is a good old-fashioned smack on the behind from the Holy Spirit to say, man, you don't exist for a building. You don't exist for a building. The early church, I want you to just think about a thing. Come on, you know me. You know I like to drop a couple history seeds in your mind. Know this about the church, the early church. Know these couple thoughts. There was no Bible. Yeah, you're welcome. There was no Bible till 382 AD. There were scriptures, they were in the forms of letters, but they didn't even have it all together until St. Athanasius would kind of have his Bible, is canonized. Print, Bible in print wasn't until the 1600s. Y'all, the church met for 250 years. Majority of the time, this isn't like underground, like indie rock. This is underground because it was literally underground. Rome, you can go visit Rome. Over 100 miles of these things called catacombs. And you'll go into the catacombs and you'll see painted little ichthus pictures, which that was the actual sign of Christians until crosses became more appropriate several hundred years in. And then they would have crosses. But it's remarkable to think about. They had no building. They had no tangible Bible all the time, but they did have the apostles' teachings and preachings. We know that from the book of Acts. But some of you, I'm about to blow your mind. They had no coffee. Yeah. No donuts. Let's give up now, y'all. But you know what they had? They had a commitment to the vision of Jesus. They had a commitment to the vision of Jesus. Can I tell you, the inner turmoil you may be having today comes down to not recognizing that Jesus said it, I must believe it. Sometimes we can compromise that in our heart. Sometimes we can compromise that in our mind. Come on, I am guilty as all get out because life gets busy I mean, and then you get married. Come on. And then you have a family. But even without any of that, come on, think for some of you, your career. Think how incredible your career is. Think on just adding friends into the mix. Think of moving to a new area. Think of just trying to, you know, balance the checkbook, get the budget going. Life has a way of distracting us, so we need vision to remind us as we move forward. Some of us are in broken places. We have broken relationships, broken friendships. Our cups are empty. And we keep praying, we keep asking God, and God's like, let me breathe afresh into your future by reminding you why I set you on a rock and I pulled you out of that clay. It's because your workplace is a mission field. It's because your neighborhood, yeah, it may not feel like the nations, but it is a nation that needs to hear of the goodness and the hope of God. As a church, we want to bleed. We exist to reach people and build lives. We put out a couple weeks a little short video. Some of you may have seen this, but enjoy it again. I want to bring into mind. You can hear me speak all day, but I love this video and the picture it brings to mind. Come on, if we can, let's watch this together.
Truthfully, I was in a really dark place in my life. I had just had a baby, and I was really isolated. And I was looking for community. I needed a place to feel like I belonged and a place where I felt like I had friends. And it was kind of almost a last ditch effort of like, I had told him, if I don't find a place where I feel like I connect, like we're gonna have to move. Because I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we had moved the year previous to that here. Because he's from Louisville, and in Pittsburgh, I had a community, and then I moved here, and I felt extremely isolated. And so the very first Sunday that we came to Hillside, we knew that there was something different about it. Not that we had met anyone in particular or anything like that, it just kind of
felt like home.
Yeah.
I think we had... We had definitely been attending church, you know, we valued that, and so we had been looking for a place to call home, and we had a place that we were faithfully going, but it somewhat felt like we were going through the motions. And truthfully, when we pulled in the parking lot, we were greeted in the parking lot. We were recognized as being visitors. They recognized we had a baby, and were just very helpful. Do you need childcare? Do you need something to drink? Can we help you find a seat? And then the worship was very inviting. After the message, Pastor Paul and Kelly stopped and talked with us in the lobby. And I think just the sense of community and welcoming. I think we both come from a ministry background. Both of our families are in ministry. We've served in several churches. And sometimes you can do the good work of ministry and it feels like a ritual that you're doing. It's just, this is what we're supposed to do. And then I think rarely you find people who just exude love and sincerity. And I think there was a sincerity that we found here that made it feel like home.
You don't have to, like, you don't have to bring all of these things to the table. You come as you are, and there is a place for you to belong where you don't have to do all the 17 steps that you feel like you have to do in order to be a good Christian. Not that the Bible isn't clear about certain things, but it's a place where you are fully accepted, and what you bring is enough, and you're here to learn, to grow, to be part of an incredible community of people that love you.
Yeah, you serve out of an overflow, not out of an obligation. There was a sincerity that we found here that made it feel like home.
One of the things I've recognized is sometimes I bump into people and they have a tremendous knowledge of God, which is great. They know Scripture, they know the Word of God, but they're doing life alone. And when I see that or experience that, red flags go up. Not in a judgmental sort of way, but as a pastor, I care because I realize the tactic of the enemy isn't actually to make you sin more, it's to isolate you. And so if he can get you isolated, whether that's through broken dreams, if he can get you isolated through disappointment, if he can get you isolated through hurts. We all have broken dreams, disappointments. We all have hurts we're working through. But if we can still keep coming and keep getting into community, that's where we can begin to flourish. And so our heart as a church, yes, heaven invades earth, reaching people, building lives, we have that mission, but it's to be a community where people know God is for them, and so are we. And so we're working that out. It's not, you know, we don't have it all figured out, but our heartbeat is that as our community grows, our culture continues to let people know how for them God is.
Yeah, amen. Reaching people, building lives. It looks different for each one of us and our experience. But you know, something that was said at the end, the enemy wants us isolated. And think about this. It's a simple yes and no. Do you think the enemy of your soul wants you flourishing with a vision and a future? No. He wants to isolate us. He wants to cut us off from the very place we can have life. And vision is so critical, yes, for a local church, but also for us personally, because it gives us the strength to endure. And there are times, I'm thinking about our young adult small group and some plans even some of the members have for the fall. I'm thinking about it because they'll get together, even in community, and just encourage one another, elbow one another, nudge one another, and let them know, man, God's still got a purpose. God's still got a plan. I've had a hard week, but you know what? God called me. God gave me a purpose. God gave me a plan. It's a beautiful thing when a church gets the vision, when a church exists, not just for itself by any means, but for those not even here yet. And I want to invite you into the vision of Jesus. We're not the only church. Come on. It's the age-old question, you know, for pastors when they sit down and get a vision for the church. I remember in our early days, I'm like, vision for the church? I don't get an opinion on it. Jesus said it. Like, what are we going to do? Like, we just do, you know, fun is great, but we're not just here to have fun. We're a church that reaches people. Reaches those far, far from the gospel, far from the hope, far from, pack the bus. Why do you pack the bus? Because we believe in meeting a need in our community. Why do Thanksgiving outreaches? Why have members that share their faith in their workplace? Because in their workplace are people who don't have hope and who are perishing and who are living for sin cycles, that are reaping a terrible harvest in their life. And Jesus holds the key to unlocking their future and their freedom. So as a church, we exist. I want to share in closing three things that a clear vision can do. And this is where I think it will really inspire you as an individual. It'll inspire you and can actually equip you in your personal life. I want to just list quickly three things that vision does. Some of these are captain obvious, y'all. Some of you going to be like, well, no duh. But come on, we need some reminding in our life. And a clear vision creates concentration. Come on, that's like, well, no duh. But a clear vision creates concentration. Come on, if you have ever coached a kindergarten sports team, you know that you whittle down that vision to one thing, ball plus basket. You know, soccer, ball plus, you got to get a little detailed here, other team's goal, okay? I mean, but a clear vision creates concentration. I remember I thought about this as a young adult, college student. I never changed my major. It's like, what? That you don't have to change your major in college? You don't have to. You can actually hold on to a whisper from heaven and endure college. When psychology major looks real tempting, come on, somebody. There's a reason it's the most popular. It's the best. Okay, but a clear vision gives us concentration. It gives a concentration. As a church, we don't have. I mean, I hate to say it. We're not about your vision. You're not about my vision. You're not about my preferences. You're not about my opinions. We want to be a church. We want to move as the Spirit moves. We want to walk as He leads. We want to stay in step with the Spirit. Here's what we want to do. At the end of the day, we want to be concentrated, our mission clear, to reach people, build lives. I mean, no disrespect, but we're in this building because of vision. In case you didn't know this, some of you, again, this is a day full of surprises. First year, the early church didn't have donuts. Some of you, you still can't get over that. I lost you. But I want to tell you, we didn't build this building. We didn't. This building came across our path. Why? Because of vision. When anybody, this is again, no disrespect. I actually got no clue about the origins of this. I do, but of the origins of this building. But what I mean is, whenever a church loses sight of why it exists, it can get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And we can blame things. The truth is, we have to settle. Holy Spirit, are we operating with the vision Jesus had? Does the gospel still save? Yes. Did Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection and ascension change the course of human history? Yeah. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to reach people and build lives. See what I mean? It brings concentration. So guess what? Our kids team, y'all, they're not just whatever. It's like, man, let's just play a video or something. Let's just throw some snacks and water and fingers crossed, pray for the best. No. What are they doing? Seed of God's goodness. Man, you know God loves you. Because guess what? They don't know what was heard at school or will be heard at school. But we do know one thing. God loves them. And what do? We're going to teach them. We're going to reach them. We're going to show their story. Share their story. God's story with them. It concentrates. Can you see what it does? But here's the deal. You may be like, it's my first time. Like, whoa, slow down. No. Let me speed up. Reach people. You can with where you are right now. You can ask God, how am I as an individual? How are we as a family about the ministry and the message of Jesus to the world around us? It brings a concentration. Speaking of The Last Dance, if you watch that, his teammates, Michael Jordan's teammates, after their first championship, they interview him and they're like, yeah, we had no idea he had any emotions. He's like crying with the award in his hand. He's bawling and they're all like, who that? Who is that guy? Because he was intense. He was mean and he did not accept mistakes. What did he have? He had a clear vision. And until he reached that vision, he was going to make everybody uncomfortable. They all got a great paycheck, so they were comfortable. But he let them know, man, we're giving it our all. And sometimes as a church, we need to be reminded, man, let's not get comfortable. Let's not, believe it or not, some of y'all are like, this room's a little full. Social distancing. I get it, but we still have room. We have places we can go. Y'all, you can tell by my energy. I can preach twice on a Sunday. I'm just saying. I could preach three times if y'all push the limit. Because why? Because there's lost people. There's people asleep right now. There are people on Facebook not watching service. They are dying for a vision. They've borrowed everybody else's vision, and they're wiped out. And God is wanting to send us to tell them, listen, He has a purpose. He has a plan. It brings concentration, a clear vision, attracts cooperation. It doesn't need a lot of explanation there. A clear vision, what it does is it lets everybody, man, we're all on the same team. We're all serving alongside of each other. We're all going somewhere. Where are we going? We're going to transform our community. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And you don't have to wait. You can begin at teenagers. You don't have to wait on mom and dad. You can start now. You can start. You can be part of a good rebellion. against what culture is shoving towards our teenage generation, you can rise up and say, man, I'm going to walk holy. I'm going to walk pure. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to walk free of gossip. I'm going to walk full of fear because I know whose I am. All right, some of y'all think, I don't think we should do a second service because you got too much energy to keep going. We're going to end. A clear purpose assists in evaluation. And that's important. As I shared earlier, this series is coming about a clear evaluation. We could. It's on the table. I'm just letting you know, it's on the table. We can live defeated right now. I'm just letting you know, it's an option. I want to let you know, you can live distracted right now. It's in the cards. We can live defeated. We can live distracted. We can live disappointed. God, what's going on? What's going on? You know, you can live like I did in denial until about the end of March, until everything shut down. Oh, this, for real, for real, for real. Then you may be a little slower, not an early adapter, maybe one of the later adapters. Maybe God's in the midst of things. Maybe God's up to doing something our community has been praying for the last 100 years. Maybe there's a chance people 200 years away, whose gravesites we drive past, maybe there's a chance they prayed for revival in this region, and we're going to be the generation to see it come to pass. I'm just saying, maybe. Maybe God's up to something. In the midst of this, God is up to something good. In the midst of your life, all the cards may be stacked against you. You may have given up on yourself. And you came today. You don't even know how you found it. And God wants to let you know. You can steal his vision and your life. And this is what Jesus said. I've come that you might have life, life to the full. Vision. When we're under God's vision, under his purposes, under his plans, walking in the mercy of God, I'm telling you, it changes the game. We can endure anything, everything thrown at us when we don't forget why we do what we do. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to give you a chance to step into the vision that God had in mind for his humanity. In Genesis 1, it begins and it's clear. God had in mind relationship. You have no reason except what's between your ears for living distant from God. It's not on him. He loves you right where you are in what you're walking through. He loves you with last night attached. He loves you with the last decade attached. He loves you in every way. And he offers mercy. He offers forgiveness. There is a grace that washes our life white as snow. We choose to believe it. We choose to receive it. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you're here and you know, man, God has been knocking on your heart even before you got here. You thought to yourself, man, can I do relationship? Am I even worth it? God says you're worth it. Part of God's vision can be summed up in the most Googled Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved you, and he gave his son that you might have life, that you might not perish and spend eternity apart from him, but that you might draw close and have eternity with him. If that's you, say this with me. Come on, let's pray. Father, I need you. I need the mercy that you give. I need the forgiveness that you give. I need salvation. And I repent of my sins. I turn away from my past. And I turn towards you. God, it's not just a decision, but Lord, it's a relationship I'm after. I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. I call you Lord and Savior. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I trust you with my future. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, let's celebrate his goodness one more time this morning. We love you, God. We love you. And thank you, God. I want to let you know, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, we know that we all make decisions. Our heart, God's ultimate plan is not a one-time decision. It's for you to become a disciple of his. I want to encourage you. You can find our prayer team after service in just a couple moments. You can speak with them down front, or if you'd prefer, you can fill out that connection card online, and we'll be sure to follow up with you. All right. We're going to close.
Thank you for listening to Hillside Sermon of the Week. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, help us continue to spread the word by investing today. You can give at hillsidechurch.us/give. And don't forget, we meet every Sunday at 10:30 at 4810 Grantline Road in New Albany, Indiana.